Good evening, everyone. Thank you for listening to 89.1 FM Lakeshore Public Radio. And don't forget, you can stream us wherever you go at lakeshorepublicradio.org. In fact, most of my shows, anyway, are uploaded to the website. So go on there if you miss anything, and you'll find it posted. Jose is diligent about keeping all those shows up and ready for your personal consumption. Tonight, we are going to talk to a very famous family member. Maybe you've heard of these guys. They were called the Jacksons out of Gary, Indiana. Yeah, scratch your head. Think about it. You might remember a song or two. Well, we've got Keith Jackson, who is the first cousin to the Jacksons of the Jackson 5. And we're going to talk about his band, which is Triple Dose, and a big show coming up. And we're going to talk about all sorts of fun stuff and play some music, too. So stay with us after your headlines. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for supporting National Public Radio and Lakeshore Public Radio right here in Northwest Indiana. You are listening on the line at 89.1 FM or streaming worldwide or via the app at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Today is time for Midwest Beats, and this program, as you know, is all about music, the arts, and the people who make it. Well, today we're going to talk to a gentleman who has been making music for a long time. In fact, he comes from, it's in his DNA. He comes from a family known for making music and art. We're going to talk about his history. We're going to talk about his future. We're going to talk about what he's doing right now. And, of course, about a show that's coming up on Valentine's Day. I'm talking about Keith Jackson. If you've been in the nightclub scene here in Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland anytime in the last 15, 20 years, you've probably seen him playing with a variety of bands, most notably Triple Dose. That is his band. He is the band leader. He's the bass player, percussionist, the man about town, and we're going to get to hear something right now. This is Triple Dose featuring Keith Jackson and a great little tune. Let's see if you recognize the voice that's popping up on this one. It's called Squeeze Them Out. We'll be talking with Keith on the other side.
On their feet, see they sympathizers crying on TV.
They say they want to help the poor.
They should get more. They want to squeeze them out. They just want to squeeze them out. Out of the system, yeah. They just want to squeeze them out. Wanna squeeze them out, wanna squeeze them out. Out of the system, yeah. They just wanna squeeze them out, wanna squeeze them out.
Just
Well, you can't go wrong when you're sampling Michael Jackson. And who better to do it than a Jackson himself? Keith Jackson and Triple Dose, and that's Squeeze Them Out, social commentary. Keith is here in the studio with us. Welcome, Keith.
Welcome, welcome. Glad to be here. Good to see you, man.
This is cool. I haven't seen you in so long, and we were catching up before the show, and so much time has gone by, so much water under the musical bridge, so to speak. You've come long ways. Mm-hmm. Last time I saw you were playing in cover bands, and now you're still doing great covers, but you're doing a lot of original stuff like that.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That is a little out of the wheelhouse I remember you being in. And you had mentioned off air your son was very involved with that. Let's give him props. Tell me what he's all about.
Yeah. My son, Jamie Jackson, known by Jay Hostile. He's a
Hostile?
Hostile.
Oh, yeah. Hostile. I thought hot style.
No. Hostile. Yeah.
Okay.
A very talented young man. He's a producer. He actually helped produce this single, Squeeze Them Out. And, you know, we're just doing great things. Like a father and son team, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's it like working with your son? I mean, and he's gonna direct you. He's going to say, Dad, you got that wrong.
Right.
And he goes, wait a minute. You know? And what's it like? How do you separate father, son, and producer and artist?
The difference is that he moves much faster.
Okay.
Especially in the studio. It's like now things are done so fast and quick. So with the techniques that he have. And what I basically do, I bring the music. I play all the parts and we drop the tracks for each part, and then from that point he takes it and he do what he needs to do with it to make it sound what it sound like today.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where'd you get the idea to drop in your cousin Michael?
You know what? I thought this song would be a great song because it's about, you know, world hunger and bringing people together, and you know, and when I was listening to Michael, I thought about Michael from that song,
"We Are the World."
No, that one.
Okay.
It was just a phrase. He said, "I'm going to teach you."
Oh, yeah.
You know, so and like in Jamaica, they say, "Reach one, teach one," and so with the concept of being reggae with a rock edge, it just made me think of Michael, and that's when I add that loop to that. I'm going to teach you.
Wow. And you're taking some lessons now from your son.
Yes.
teaching you how to do the hip-hop kind of sound.
See, I'm so used to performing live and doing everything live. Studios is different.
It's a complete different animal.
Different animal. And we learn from each other. So he's amazed from me being able to play the music or play the bass guitar and also the percussion and the vocals. And then his job is basically making me sound good.
There you go. So what's the end game here with Squeeze Them Out? That's a single. Mm-hmm. And you said that's been out a little over a year and a half?
Yeah, it's been out. But I haven't really pushed it the way I wanted to because I want to make sure that when I do come out, I want to have at least five songs, even though they will five singles, so that way they all in rotation.
Okay.
You know, so
are you releasing these digitally then? Is that how you're doing it?
Yes. I'm planning on releasing these digitally along with the other songs that you guys are going to hear.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, you know, I have always, you know, did cover songs, and I always did them my way, put them on arrangement to them. So I'm like, hey, man, you need to do your own music.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's all about this year. You know,
how long ago did you start realizing that you needed to do your own? You had to let it out.
Well, actually, it's been a while. Just at the time, you know what I'm saying? When you're dealing with different bands, and you're traveling, you're doing, you know what I'm saying? It's very time consuming, and it's like, you know what? I had to stop and say, look, I need you to stop. Go in the studio, take my time, and just create my own music. And so that's you know, that's my focus, you know, for especially 2020, for this year.
Okay. Yeah. So the songs are done. The songs are being recorded. They're being mixed.
Right.
You've got a handful of them ready that are coming out now on the digital format. Is the game plan to gather them up and release them as a full album? Then you mentioned that like five songs is what you're looking to do right now.
Right,
like an EP.
Yes. So yes. Okay. Exactly, yes.
What about doing, I mentioned it before we turned the mics on, Squeeze Them Out, as an old house DJ guy, I mean, I would think that would be a perfect 12-inch remix single.
Okay.
And maybe run that past your son and see his thoughts, because vinyl is so in now.
Okay.
And I'm seeing in my record store a lot of people coming in, and they're learning the whole turntable thing again.
Again, right.
So they're coming in, and I've got cases and crates full of old 12-inches from the nightclub days.
Wow.
And they're snatching them up.
Wow.
It's like, okay, these are all, you know, decent track stuff, and they're like $5 a pop or whatever.
Right.
And mm-hmm. they're buying up a bunch of those. And then, of course, okay. you got your main artists. So you got the special Giorgio remixes or whatever.
Okay.
And so those are a little higher. But they're buying them, and they're stealing the beats. They're stealing the grooves.
Okay.
Just like we used to back in the day. Yeah, I mean, everybody borrowed from James Brown.
Right. And that's
almost
the thing.
Every dance song.
Everything is old is new again. It's mm-hmm. like, it's you know, I mean, James Brown, they laid out the format for musicians, you know, from all over the world with this style of music. And it just everything is coming back now. I feel like the old music is really the best music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older music is really the best music. And it's just so many qualities in that old music that you could learn from. You know, and so, yeah.
Now, you play a variety of instruments.
Yes, I play bass guitar. I play acoustic. I also play percussions, drums, and very little keyboard. Yeah.
But I have known you primarily as a bass player.
Bass player and percussionist. I do both. When I'm on stage, I play percussion and bass and lead vocals.
What was your first instrument of choice when you were starting out?
Actually, it was percussions. Yeah,
was it?
Yeah, you know what? And the reason why, because when my dad used to take us over to see Michael, and before anybody knew who the Jackson 5 were, Randy played percussion, and I wanted to be like Randy. I was like, well, matter of fact, he's a couple years older than me, but when I seen him play the bongos, that's just sold me right there. And then eventually, when I went to see them perform live, when they was out performing and touring, and to watch Jermaine play bass, and then I was like, you know what? I want to do both. So
he made that bass look sexy.
Yeah. So Jermaine and Randy really inspired me. And when they was at Jackson 5, so that's when I decided I wanted. And I was like maybe 10, 11 years old, and that really inspired me, and I just wanted to, you know, see if I could conquer both instruments.
Mm-hmm. I think you probably have.
Yeah, I think, yes.
At what point did you say, I want to do this full-time like they are? I want to be a musician professionally.
From an early age. Actually, my first gig, I was 12 years old, and it was a club in Gary, Indiana called the Zodiac, and I was playing with these guys much older than me, and I was lucky to get in the club. They just mm-hmm. they just made sure, look, he can't come out. Only time he can come out is when he's on stage. He can't, you know, float around. He can't, you know, be at the bar, no, nothing like that.
Right.
So, but at the age of 12, but I knew then, even at the age of 10, like I said, when I seen Mike on them perform, I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Now, were you playing percussion at that age or
at 12?
Bass?
Yeah, I was playing. Yeah,
okay.
It was percussion for. I didn't start playing bass until I was like maybe I want to say 16 years old. Yeah, so bass came a lot later, but then I picked it up. And the reason why I picked the bass up also too because every group that I played in, the bass player would never show up on time or, you know, he didn't learn the music. So we was frustrated.
Right.
I was frustrated. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna learn how to play the bass. And that's what I did, you know.
Now, in Triple Dose, when you play on February 14th at the Hobart Art Theater, it's part of the Women of Motown Musical Review.
Okay.
And who better to be on that bill than a Jackson, because they got their start at Motown. So you've got that lineage right there again.
Yes.
Who all is going to be playing? I mean, it's going to be Triple Dose.
Yes, we're going to do a four-piece, though, because Triple Dose is really a five-piece band. But we're going to do a four-piece, and I have Andy Sutton on drums. I have my cousin Smoothie Jackson on lead guitar, and I have Ron Dudley on keys and vocals. And myself, so it's going to be a great show. Yeah.
Wow. Now, you doing all the singing?
Actually, the three of us. I sing, Smoothie sing, and also Ron sing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Poor Andy. Stuck in the back.
Well, Andy, you know, he might sneak in a little vocals on the background, but yeah.
So what kind of songs does Triple Dose do these days? When they first came out, you broke off of White Dove. We were talking about that, which
reggae.
Is a hardcore reggae band in the area.
Right.
Triple Dose came out and kind of picked up the slack when White Dove kind of dropped off the scene.
Right.
And you were known as a reggae band, but you never were pure reggae. You would always put a little R&B in your groups.
Yes, a little R&B and rock. I mean, that's for me personally, I love all styles of music. So even today, even with my music, I try to incorporate all those styles, you know, in my music. Some are more straight-ahead reggae. Some are more straight-ahead rock or R&B. But I just love music. I love music, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. So will you be doing some of these originals when you play?
Well, you know what?
Are you ready to do the
well,
originals?
Well, no, because I would have to do it with my five-piece band.
Okay.
Opposed to four-piece band because of the instruments. But yeah, it's coming. You will hear us perform live the songs real, you know, sometime this year. It's coming.
So 2020, at some point, you're going to debut those songs on stage.
Yes.
We're hearing it here.
Yes.
We're going to hold you to that.
Yes, and I will do
right.
it.
Okay. Now, how often is Triple Dose playing out these days?
Well,
are you doing a lot? I mean, you've been doing some touring, and we're going to talk about that in a minute with other folks. But as a band,
band, we've been we're pretty busy. Not like I wanted to be, especially because of this area. But you know, of course, Indiana is my home. I love. There's certain clubs that I've been working for a long time, like Duffy's Bar in Valparaiso.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty much in play at every club. Here from Jalapenos. There's so many. I mean, the casinos. So we stay pretty busy. Pretty busy. Yeah, yeah.
Tell me about this next song we're going to play. It's another original, I believe, mm-hmm. My Lover.
Okay.
Okay. What's the story behind My Lover and how old is this? And how did you write this?
Oh, well, this song is a year old. And I created this song because I thought about Valentine's Day.
Oh, you got to play this on Valentine's then.
And so that really inspired me to write the song My Lover because, it's great to be in love, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this song will reach out to those who are in love and they can relate to the song. So.
And guys, I just got to say, if you are near a laptop, you may want to cue it up on the YouTube because it's a great video. You've got some exquisite women in this video.
Yes.
It's old school MTV on steroids.
Yes, mine.
All right. This is Keith Jackson, Triple Dose on Lakeshore Midwest Beat and My Lover.
My lover, girl, you know you my lover. My lover, girl, you know you my lover. My lover, girl, you know you my lover. My lover. I can't think of no other, especially under this color. For
My Lover. There you go. We're all sitting in here grooving away and dancing. Jose's rocking the chair and rocking the board, and Keith and I are kind of swaying, and all of a sudden it ended. It was like, oh, man, got carried away. Like, it was trancy. I mean, yes. I like that.
Yeah. I think it's a universal song, something that everyone could relate to, and it's a family song. Everybody, because it's something that everyone can listen to.
Right.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, the sound has an old-school sound, but it's not old-school. I mean, this is contemporary, what you're doing. But you've got those roots.
Thank you, yeah.
And we're going to get to a couple more songs here. Well, one cover and one original still coming tonight. But as we mentioned in the beginning, and we teased a little bit with Squeeze Them Out, your original song that drops Michael Jackson lyrics and song over it, you are the first cousin of the Jackson family, as in the Jackson Five.
Yes.
Not just Michael, but all of them.
All of them.
And I think we need to talk a little. Everyone knows Michael Jackson. There's not a whole lot we can say that people don't know.
Right.
Unless there's some cool personal stories, which maybe we can share. But talk about the brothers. I was telling you, I got to meet them one time in 79, and they impressed me as being so down to earth and so kind and so nice. They were at their peak. I mean, Destiny was exploding. Okay. Shake Your Body was the number one single in the country, if not the world, on Billboard. Right. And here they were just hanging out, coming to the table. What's up? You know, I mean, that's what they were like. It was just like you met them on the street corner.
And they're still the same today. It just, how can I explain it? Just, I guess, I'm going to say because our parents, you know, they always taught us to respect other people and, you know, and just be able to adapt in certain, you know, situations. But well, let me just start with Jackie. Jackie is the oldest. Jackie is so cool and laid back. You know, he's the oldest brother. I can remember as a kid, you know, how he used to tease them, and it just kind of went down the line from Jackie, Tito, Jermaine, Marlon, then Michael, of course, then Randy. It just growing up in Gary, Indiana, as a kid, I can remember us just as a family, a normal family, always get together, and we just have a great time, you know, a really good time. There was always music because people think that Michael, the other family members are the only talented ones in the family. There's a lot of talent in the Jackson family. Even goes back with my aunties and my uncles and grandparents. They have always been musically inclined. Even my dad. Matter of fact, my dad and Joe, Michael's father, had a group called the Falcons. And they had a blues band. And my dad played guitar and Joseph played the harmonica. And they was doing great as young men. And then came from Arkansas, moved to Gary, and that's when they started working in the steel mills. So
it's part of the big migration. It brought a lot of the great blues players.
Exactly. And so when they started working in the steel mills, I guess it was looking at the kids, and we was always kind of running around, you know, singing or, you know what I'm saying, beating on something or tapping on something. And Michael Joseph seen that with Michael and them, and that's when actually Jermaine and them had the group at first. And then Michael was kind of adopted into the group, you know.
He was really little when they started.
Yeah. And so from that point, you know, like I said, just been music. Before the Jackson 5, there's always been music in our family. I just want to say that. And it's just that I'm so proud of them. And my uncle, you know, just took it to the next level, you know. And like I said, my dad used to come over and play guitar. He showed Tito how to play the blues. And even today, Tito would tell everyone that he learned the blues from my dad, you know, because my dad used to hang out with you know, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, all those guys, you know, as a blues artist. And so it's just, like I said, the music have always been in the family. It's not just with the brothers, but also my family. I have a brother that plays guitar, Sean Jackson. I also produce. My son produced.
Is DNA.
Yeah, it's DNA. It's just, you know, it's always been music in our family. So we always been around music. So it just comes natural. Yeah.
I remember Billy Shelton from the Spaniels telling me, he goes, you know, Joe Jackson used to hang around with us at the school. You know, he was wanting to get into the bands and stuff then, and he was starting out. So that was when he was a teenager.
Yes, clearly.
That underscores your story there.
Yeah.
Your dad, why did he not just stay with it?
You know what? My dad, he loved music, but he didn't like the, I guess he didn't like the Hollywood scene or the, you know, all the pressures that come along with that. And so basically, my dad was just happy, just playing his guitar. He has sit outside.
He still play?
Still, my dad is 88. I'm sorry, my dad is 84 years old, and he still plays, not as much as he used to, but he still plays, you know.
A little
and,
front porch picking.
Front porch, yeah. But he loves the blues. He still, you know, you play the blues, he get in right with you on the blues. So he's been playing blues pretty much all his life, you know. So, yeah, yeah.
What is it like, or what was it like, to have a Jackson family reunion? And I know you guys still get together.
Yes.
I mean, even when Michael was still living, you were going to his ranch.
Yeah, went to Neverland, yeah.
And, I mean, the family traveled with him.
Right.
In many cases, Johnny Jackson. He was the drummer, and he was your drummer for a while.
Right, and also Ronnie. Rassifer was the keyboard player.
The keyboard player.
Yeah, yeah.
Went on to play with Shut Up and Drive locally.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Ronnie still living?
He's still, it's just that he's, you know, of course he's up in age.
Right.
And he's not able to play
like
he
used to. He's a
funny
guy.
He's not able to play like he used to, but I tell you what, that guy has a closet full of music or just, he's a genius, man. He has so much music, you know, of his own. And he used to also be a music director for Smokey Robinson during the times when he was with Motown.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. So Ronnie Rassifer, the first keyboard player for the Jackson 5, yeah.
So they brought the family with them when they went out to L.A., guys still get together as a regular. I mean, you're just regular people, regular family.
Yeah, just like anybody else's family. I definitely remember when Michael sent for us to come to the ranch. We stayed out there for a week. We had a great time. And for me, I know people are like, oh man, what it's like to be first cousins, you know, to Michael. And for me, it just is normal because they my family. It's just they,
right.
You know. So I mean, for me personally, I don't get excited like most other people would get excited. And they just regular people, man. We go out there, you know, we have a good time. We eat well. We have a chance to, you know, spend time with each other and talk about old times and stuff. And, you know, just a great time, man. You know, and we still get together, too. You know, I mean, when we can. When they're not busy, we still get together when they come back to Gary.
Now they're back now.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
They
matter of fact,
were.
Yeah, yeah. Tito, yeah. Jackie, and Marlon was just here the 1st of January. They was here the 2nd week of January, I believe. And they came here to do the ground breaking for the Hard Rock Cafe casino that's going to be built here in Indiana right off 29th and Birth Street. So I got a chance, you know, see my cousins. We, you know, we kick it, we talk, we have a good time, take pictures, and just, you know, just thankful that we're still here and we can still enjoy each other and play good music, you know.
Now, what is the Jackson family connection to the Hard Rock?
Well, basically, I think what they're going to do is they're going to actually have a some type of memorabilia or store.
Like a museum kind
of
thing?
Museum type of thing,
okay.
Yeah, in the casino. I think Tito was talking about maybe opening up a club here in Gary, too, a blues club. Like Buddy Guy has his club in Chicago.
That'd be cool.
I think Tito want to open a club here in Indiana. So, yeah, hopefully that happened. That would be really great if that happened. But I know he was thinking about doing something like that here. Yeah.
Were they thinking ahead when they were young? Again, all of them got into this so young. Were they thinking ahead and saying, we're going to hang on to those old stage clothes, those bell bottoms, those funky hats, because one day we'll have a museum?
Right.
I mean, a lot of people, they have all this memorabilia, but they don't think to save it.
Save it, right.
Now,
right.
If that would be brilliant to have it in their hometown,
mm-hmm.
Who's got the archives?
You know what? I'm not sure, but I know that they were they did present some of their old outfits that they had when they were the Jackson 5. And my auntie, Catherine, she made those clothes. She made them herself.
Wow.
Most of their outfits that my auntie Catherine, she made her own.
So when we'd see them on TV, she actually sewed
those?
She
actually sewed those clothes, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is your take on Michael, his evolution? You knew him when you used to play together as little kids.
Mm-hmm.
He, of course, became a superstar. Mm-hmm. What did you see change in him, either for the positive or the negative or anything? Just as he grew up and became a superstar, the rest of the family always seemed very grounded and still do.
Right.
Was Michael grounded when he was with the rest of you?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. Michael, this is the thing that people don't say about Michael. Michael have always been a loving and caring person, and he cared about all people, and he cared about this world, you know, and he's always been like that. And he's a great businessman. You know, Mike, I think personally, Mike was just ahead of his time, you know, as far as, you know, what he brought you know, to the world. You know, his talent and, you know, his genius of his music. It just, you know, it's unreal sometimes to know that my cousin did that. You know, mm-hmm. and it's a great feeling though too. It's a great feeling because it's a positive. I always know Mike to be positive. I've never seen Mike. You know what I'm saying, negative or anything mm-hmm. like that. So, but like, he's human, like everybody else. Everybody had their own ups and downs. Right. But when he was around us, he always showed, you know, he was always in good spirits and he always showed us a great time. So,
do you think it was the shyness that mm-hmm. he had? Because mm-hmm. He certainly was not introverted. When he got right. on stage, he came alive in a big
exactly,
way.
Exactly.
But when you saw him doing mm-hmm. interviews, he just seemed so, I don't want to say reclusive, but withdrawn a little bit. Was right. it that he was shy when he wasn't performing?
Very shy. Very shy. Mike was very shy. How can I explain it? It just, even for me, I feel like when I'm on the stage, I feel at home. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? For me, it's spiritual. It's like I just feel at home. And I'm sure Michael felt the same way. But off the stage too. But you got to think too. All the years that he's been doing this, you know, and the people and dealing with so many different, you know. People that sometimes you have to sit back and, you know, and kind of, you know,
yeah.
breathe a little bit. But
take a reality
yeah,
check.
Yeah. Because really, I don't think Mike ever thought of himself as being the genius or, you know, the baddest, you know, guy, you know, in the music business. I don't really think he thought that or felt that way. Just that he loved music, you know, like I do. He loved it. It's just something you love. I don't think it was all about just the money and the fame. Just that he loved the art of music. He loved it, you know, and being okay. to be able to create music. So, yeah.
Now, to get away from Michael for a few here, mm-hmm. the brothers are still performing as yes. the Jacksons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do they have anything in the works that you can share with us right now as far as plans that you
well,
know?
Well, yeah, I do know that they're going to be coming back to Indiana July, I want to say the 17th, to perform.
Casino or?
I believe, yes, it's at the Hard Rock Casino, yeah. Okay. Matter of fact, I think they already started doing the promotions on that, promoting that. But yeah, they're coming back, which is great because they haven't performed in Gary in so many years. You know, it's been a long time since they've been back to Gary to perform. Now, I know they did something in Maryville, Indiana a few years back, the Unity Tour, but this will be the first time they came back to Gary, Indiana, their hometown, to perform. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be so huge. And so, you know, everyone is looking forward to this, you know, that day. So, yeah.
I remember my sister worked at the Gary Public Library, and I remember mm-hmm. that when they would perform in the basement there.
Mm-hmm.
They were just local kids from the neighborhood, and they go down there and they do their little thing. And uh-huh. then I always hear stories about all these different bands who their dad or their uncle or their grandfather or somebody always can say, well, you know, we competed in the Battle of the Bands with the Jacksons.
Right, right. And that was most of the groups. See, back in the 70s, you know, when I was coming up, it was a group on every block. You had bands. It flourished. It just, music was Gary just, you know, it just, oh, wow. The Rippers and the Wave. I kind of remember that group. It was some other groups and stuff that was on some of the talent shows with Mike and them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Mike and them won. But those guys, I can remember the guys talking like, oh, man, we used to always be in competition, try to sing like them or, you know, that type of thing. And it's just amazing, man. But back in that time, man, music was a really big thing here in Gary, Indiana. So, yeah.
I know a lot of times when I'll be emceeing or talking during mm-hmm. Black History Month in particular mm-hmm. with the Spaniels and Willie Rogers and people like that, mm-hmm. we tell stories about how it was mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. and how much things have changed. Yes. And Michael and the Jacksons and Motown was a big part of that cultural change.
Mm-hmm.
Where we saw black music meld mm-hmm. into what it is today.
Today, right.
It wasn't segregated anymore. Mm-hmm. And I always try to educate people who like Michael mm-hmm. to look back at Frankie Lyman.
Right.
Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers kind of were the template from where the Jacksons came.
Mm-hmm.
And Frankie, of course, had the horrible luck of jumping off a stage mm-hmm. during a performance on the Alan Freed TV show. And he happened to land next to a little blonde girl
okay.
in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And we can all just imagine how that went over.
Right,
and
right,
poor Frankie, right. who had the mm-hmm. most brilliant career of anyone of that era, mm-hmm. wound up dying destitute and being driven out of the business, basically, mm-hmm. over something so stupid
right.
that we would never see today.
Say, right,
and you
right.
wonder, what would they have been like? Mm-hmm. And every time I think of Frankie, I think of Michael.
Because
I'm thinking, Frankie Michael embodies what Frankie would have been.
Right.
And he carried that legacy on. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an important part. He was huge in breaking down the barriers as a young child, because children are innocent.
Exactly.
And there is no racial divide when you're a young child.
Exactly.
And Michael grew up in that. And I think he embodied that.
And that's what he truly believed. Yeah, yeah.
So I just, I don't get a chance to really speak on that too often, but because it is February, and I think that's an important thing. We're talking about a great mover and shaker, physically and literally, that I just think the Jacksons have done so much, and we don't always give them credit for that.
Right.
You think of Motown, you think of Detroit.
Right.
Gary is a hotbed, or was a hotbed of talent back then. We had Baby Huey, we had the Enchanters out of this area, the Jackson 5, just so many people, the Spaniels.
The Spaniels,
the Dells out of Harvey. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people that were so brilliant out here, and now we've got Keith Jackson and Triple Dose and great music like we're playing.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So what's the family think of the fact that you're carrying on the tradition?
You know what? I think they really appreciate that too, for me too, because they know I love it as much as they do, you know. And
I mean, when the brothers are in town and you hang out, and you were showing me pictures. I mean, you're clearly hanging out and you're having good times, your family all the way.
Right.
Do they say, let me show you this lick?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because me and Tito, I tell you, I was, matter of fact, I toured with Tito years back, and I would always ask him, well, I used to go to the rehearsal. We used to rehearse from like 12 in the afternoon to 12 midnight. And we was getting prepared for the tour and stuff. And I would ask Tito, I'd say, Tito, show me that line from Heartbreak Hotel, man. That's my favorite song, you know. And because I was playing, at first I showed him how I played it. He's like, no, cuz, that's wrong. You got to go here and play it here. And then also the other song was I Want You Back, because I thought that bass line was so unique, you know. And then for Jermaine to be able to sing and play the background vocals and stuff with that particular song, I thought was amazing. But Tito, you know, we'll get together, he'd show me some stuff, you know, I show him some stuff, and you know, we just have a great time musically, you know. Yeah,
did you ever get a chance to sit in with the Jacksons as a group on stage?
You know, I never, not when there was the Jacksons or the Jackson 5, but like I said, when Tito did his own thing, I did tour with
you
Tito.
Did tour.
And then also Janet.
You went out with Janet.
Yeah, I was on tour with Janet, you know.
How cool was that?
That was really cool. I mean, I had such a great time. She is so down to earth, and
she is classy.
Man, she treat everybody, you know, just great. I mean, her whole team is very, very pleasant to work with, man. It was just a great time. I didn't want to go home, I'm just be honest.
I wouldn't want to go home if I was on the road with Janet.
I was upset when my time was up. But it was a great time, though. I would really appreciate that, and I will always love her for that, for having me come out and spend that time.
Any plans to jump back in with either her or any of the
Well, you
other
know
acts?
What? Hey, anything is possible. Like I said, I'm really just trying to concentrate on my own. And the thing is, with my style, and that's the thing too, because a lot of people think because they're my cousins, I'm supposed to sound like them.
Right.
And that's something that I will not do.
Right.
You know,
now, you do cover some Jackson songs.
Yeah, I do cover some songs. But
you do put your fingerprints on it.
I do. Everything that I do, I kind of put my own into that, because it just feels better.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it feels better. And like I said, a lot of people think, you know, well, do you dance like Michael? Do you sing? No. I'm like, no. But this
nobody
is,
dances like
Michael. Right. You know, it's only one Michael. I tell everybody, it's only one Mike. But anyway, my thing is that I just feel like I have a different style, a different flavor. And hopefully, you know, everybody will catch on and love the music that I create as well. So that's the goal.
We played two originals. Let's throw a cover in here. It's the only cover you're going to hear tonight from Triple Dose. And this kind of goes back to your early roots when you broke off of White Dove, and Triple Dose started as a reggae/rock R&B group.
Okay.
This is a unique video. Now, in this, you are all the roles.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, this is a band. But if you look carefully, you're playing every instrument at the same time in this group.
Yes.
Who created that?
Actually, I was over a friend house, and he was telling me that he does green screen.
Okay.
So I said, what is a green screen? He said, that's when you could do, he said, oh, have you remember Prince, when Prince did, you seen the video of Prince, it was two, when he did Doves Cry?
Mm-hmm.
I said, really? I said, oh, okay. I said, well, look, can we make that happen? He said, well, yeah, man. He said, whenever you're ready. So I thought about, I shot the sheriff, and I went over there, and I laid down every part. I laid down the drums, the bass, the rhythm.
A couple of them, you got shorter hair or is pulled back. And then
I just tied my hair up. That's what I did. I tried to look different.
Yeah, because you do. Because it confused me. I'm looking like, that looks like Keith. Wait, that guy looks like Keith. I put my glasses on, and I'm like, They're all Keith. All right. So, I shot the sheriff, Keith Jackson, Triple Dose. We'll be back with Keith a final time after this. Come on. Shot the sheriff, but not that deputy. That rascal got away. That is Keith Jackson, Triple Dose. Of course, a very famous song. Bob Dylan, Eric Clapton. Bob Marley, Eric Clapton. Everybody's done that tune over the years. And how'd you come to reggae?
You know what?
I mean, you're coming from an R&B background.
You know what? I lived in Phoenix, Arizona for a few years, and I had met, it's a strange story, I met a friend of mine. Well, actually, he's from Gary. But when we met, we didn't know we was both from Gary, Indiana.
Okay. And what were the odds of that?
And you know what? His name is Charles Bond, great guitar player. And so we was working for Budget Rental Car, and I was over car control. And sometime I used to drive the 15-passenger bus to take the employees to the airport to, mm-hmm. to pick up cars and, you know, bring them back and forth from the airport. And so I just happened to see him sitting at the back of the bus with a music book. And so I walked up to him and said, "Hey, man, you play music, huh?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Cool, man. Yeah, I'm a musician, too," and all that good stuff. I said, "Well, hey, man, I'm from Gary, Indiana." He said, "What? I'm from Gary, Indiana, too."
You same age? Did you, like, run in the same circles?
Well, he's a little bit older than me, but mm-hmm. it's funny because he knew all the musicians that I knew. And I never met him when we lived in Gary. So I never met this guy until you know, I moved to Phoenix. And he was telling me that he was trying to put a band together and everything. And so we started a reggae band. Actually, it started out.
Was he reggae?
He's playing, yeah, Charles
So you kind of fell in suit with him.
I fell in suit with him. And then we kind of did, because we was doing stuff like Bad Brains. We was doing Living Color stuff. And
that's the rocking stuff.
Yeah, we doing some rocking stuff. And with the reggae, because most of the clubs in Phoenix were like really into the, you know, the Bad Brains type thing, mm-hmm. or, you know, the Red Hot Chili Pepper type thing. So we was like really killing. Matter of fact, the Gym Blossoms.
Okay.
They opened up for us.
Wow.
Before they was famous, this club called Long Wands in Tempe, Arizona.
Did they do Hey Jealousy?
You know, I can't remember. It was wild. But anyway, those guys, we used to share the same stage and good friends, those guys, and they got a deal. We got a deal, but it didn't go through because mm-hmm. one of the guys in the band, you know how it is, always one right. person that can mess up the whole thing. But anyway, that's when the reggae that's when I was introduced to reggae, and I've been playing it ever since. And so we talking about 86?
Wow. And 86. You still play a lot of it.
Yeah.
So it's something that you really enjoy.
Oh, yeah. When I got hip to Bar Marley and Third World and those guys, man, Steel Pulse, I just...
Did you ever get a chance to play with Donald Kinsey?
Yeah, Donald Kinsey, too. That's nothing. See, Donald, also from Gary, Indiana.
Right.
Matter of fact, him and his brother, Kenny Kinsey, me and Kenny went to school together at Lewallis High School. And we was in the same stage band. And he was playing bass then, and I was playing percussion mm-hmm. for the stage band. And that's how I met Big Daddy, their father.
Right.
And then come to find out that Big Daddy knew my Uncle Joseph, and they was friends. And so I end up going over to these guys' house pretty much every other weekend to watch them rehearse. And then come to find out that Donald played with Bar Marley.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't know that Donald Kinsey played.
He's still out with the Wailers.
Yeah, he's still out with the Wailers.
He was out with the Wailers.
Right.
He was there when they tried to assassinate Bob.
Yep.
He was there with Peter Tosh. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think Donald had told me he did the arrangement on Peter's version of Johnny B. Goode.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Which was wow. one of the few hits he had in America.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Yes. So reggae is always, I mean, for me, when I first heard it, I fell in love with it. I just couldn't, you know, resist the mm-hmm. the sound of the bass and the drums. It just, you know, it is something about that bass and that drum.
Wow.
And the chinks, you know. But yeah, Donald Kinsey, real good guy, man. So yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so
you're going to be playing with Triple Dose, as we mm-hmm. mentioned, a four-piece version of it for mm-hmm. Valentine's Day. It's at the Hobart Art Theater mm-hmm. at 230 Main Street, downtown Hobart. Mm-hmm. And you'll be sharing the stage with the Women of Motown, which, of course, is Cheryl, mm-hmm. Cheryl Youngblood. And she's got some amazing talent with her. The Say Yes Band, I believe most of them are in the backing group, and then she's got the ladies with her.
Okay.
And it's going to be a great show, and I know they're theming their set for romance.
Okay.
As she told me, they're going to try and keep it on the, you know, since it is Valentine's Day, go with the romantic. And you can't go wrong with Motown. I mean,
right,
Motown
right.
is really romance put to music.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Especially when you're talking someone like Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye, Temptations.
Yeah, Temptations. Yeah. My Girl, you know.
Yeah.
Those are some sweet tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of sweet tunes and great bands that mm-hmm. wasn't signed to Motown, you have recently been playing with the Shy Lights.
Yes.
Or is mm-hmm. it the Stylistics?
Yep, nope, the Shy Lights.
The Shy Lights.
Marshall Thompson and the Shy Lights.
I remember being a huge fan of Eugene Record.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
such a great guy. And Marshall has carried on. He's an original.
Yes.
And you are playing sometimes with them?
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm doing a show with them March the 6th with the Shy Lights at the, I think it's going to be at the Horseshoe Casino, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Yeah. So Marshall, he's like an uncle to me. Him and my Uncle Joseph have been buddies for years, for years. And Marshall, ran into Marshall when we was doing the Michael Jackson celebration over at 2300 Jackson Street. And he gave me the opportunity to play, because he was like, he said, you're a Jackson, don't you play? I'm like, yes, sir. He said, you play percussion? I'm like, yes, sir. So he hired me to come in and play percussion for him, time to time. So a fabulous guy, great band. The band members that's with him now, a bunch of great guys. And I enjoy performing with the Shylight. And for me, I was really excited because as a kid, I grew up listening to that music, mm-hmm. but I never thought one day I would be a part of that group. And so it's a great feeling. I really appreciate Marshall Thompson for giving me that opportunity.
Yeah. He had some health issues, but he has bounced back.
Yeah, he's still a strong man. He get out there. He's not able to move like he used to, but mm-hmm. I tell you what.
I can't move like I used to. Are you kidding me?
But I tell you what, when he stands up, he give it his best, and the crowd, the people love Marshall Thompson.
As long as the voice is there, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Great vocal group.
Well, let's wrap things up by giving the final song. We'll try to get through most of it. Keith Jackson, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
We got to do this again. We have a little more time.
Yes.
And we'll bring in the rest of the guys.
Okay.
And maybe we'll do a little acoustic-y kind of reggae
great.
Stuff.
Yeah. Unplugged.
And we can open this up and have an audience.
Oh yeah.
And we can actually. Have a little concert.
That'd be great. Triple dose unplugged, right?
There you go.
Station.
I like that. Well,
thank you, Tom.
How do they keep up with you? Is it Keith Jackson Triple Dose?
Yeah, it's Keith Jackson and the Triple Dose Band. You can find me on. I have a website. It's KeithJacksonMusic.com. That's mm-hmm. how you find me. KeithJacksonMusic.com on my website. So you can find me there.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you are hearing the final song from Triple Dose. This is Too Late. Don't you be late. Come early on February 14th. Triple Dose takes the stage at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6, and the women of Motown will be there too, rocking your world. All right. Thanks, everybody. Adios.
Everywhere. You know I love you. It can break your heart, yeah. And put you through.
Hey girl, you know I love you.
Since I met this little woman, something strange has happened to me. I'm telling ya, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. Of wanting her at least 10 times a day.
Hey girl, you know I love you.
It's not so unusual for me to carry on that way.
Hey girl, you know I love you.
I can't sleep at night, no, for wanting to hold her tight. Since I met this little lady, I tell the feelings feeling right. I'm telling ya, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love.
She like it hot and sexy. She like it hot and sexy. She wanna be my babe.
She wanna be my babe.
I'm gonna hold.